Our scripture reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And let's read the whole chapter. Read it as God speaking to you as you begin this new year. For it is God's word. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. She shall give to you, your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you go, your steps shall not be straitened, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, that is, pass away from it. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light, that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. We want to think about verse 26, especially verse 23 to 26, 27, but especially verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. But let's also just read for a moment Joshua 1. Joshua 1. Let's go to Joshua. Verse 8 and 9. And let this be our commitment in this new year. This book of the law, said the Lord to Joshua, shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thus saith the Lord. Well, I've already said Happy New Year, I leave to all of you. And we're privileged as we begin this new year. It's part of a tradition that we've held to have a service where we come under God's Word. And part of the reason for a service on this day is also the conviction that, you know, a good new year really can't happen except we be in the Lord's way and following the Lord's word and will. And so this morning I want to think with you of a text which also really speaks on this matter, Proverbs 4:26, which I already highlighted for you. There we read, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. May God bless by His Holy Spirit our reflection on this text, impacting us for the year. as we move on from today into 2014. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. The theme for the sermon is think long term and not short term. Think long term especially, and don't think just short term only. And in developing this theme, notice with me the call made here, the challenge that we have here, and the comfort that our text promises. The call that's made, the challenge it presents, and the comfort it promises. You will know, I think, that the book of Proverbs is a practical book. It gives godly advice on living a fruitful, God-honoring life from the days of our youth, even. It gives God-inspired warnings about wasteful, foolish, sinful, sad living. And it calls us rather instead to choose for God and for godliness every day again. So this call is made also in Proverbs 4. The two ways of life, the broad way that leads to destruction, the narrow way that leads to life, are clearly defined, especially in the first 19 verses of the chapter we read. And then in verses 20 to 22, the plea is made, be sure to go the right way. God's way, in accordance with His word and will. And then in the last part of the chapter, verses 23 to 27, the wise man tells us how we are to go the right way. How we are to do so. He tells us it takes utmost concentration. It takes careful, prayerful weighing of things every day in the light of God's word. Not just thinking of the moment, but thinking long term, not just short term. As one commentator expressed it, a major part of godliness is in a dogged attentiveness to the familiar gospel truths of God's word, every step of our journey. Pondering the path of your feet means weighing the way you go, weighing the path you are going down or thinking to tread. Weighing it in the light of God's word and in the light of eternity. For as the years come and go, we realize, don't we, that we're here just for a short while and there's an eternal world beyond. To ponder your pathway refers to careful consideration and the measuring of everything in reference to God's word and will. And to think of the goal which you ultimately want to reach. Very simply, when you ponder the path of your feet, you stop and ask yourself, often along life's way, questions. Questions like, is this the way I really should go? Is this the way I really want to go? Is this the way God wants me to go? Is this a wrong step? A sinful step? Or is this a way that's to God's honor? And for good. Will this be good for me not only, but for my family, for my children and grandchildren? The way that I'm going? Or will it not be good? This is what the wise man exhorts and calls for, dear congregation, younger and older here among us. Ponder the path of your feet. The verb is different, but Mary pondered everything that happened. As we read in Luke 2, she kept reflecting on it all, thinking about it all, trying to put it all together. And that's what we're called to do. In the New Testament, a verse which would compare to this verse is one from Ephesians, where Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, or carefully, thoughtfully, not as fools, but as wise. Really, our text is part of a paragraph, the last section of the chapter, verses 23 to 27, giving loving counsel in the way of godliness and peace and blessing. If you will follow the way of godliness and peace and blessing from the Lord, then you need deliberately and daily to examine yourself, not only in regards to your feet, but notice from our text passage, the wise man says, watch your heart. Watch your mouth, and watch your eyes, and your feet. Altogether, he's saying, with the whole of your being, you and I need to be on the alert every day, consciously and with concentration, conscientiously choosing for good and resisting evil. Thinking always long term, in the light of God's Word, and not short term, in the light of here and now and the passion of the moment. To ponder your path here in the context of Proverbs 4 means to weigh and measure things according to God's Word and to act with steadiness, caution, and consistency in line with God's Word. Do nothing rashly and in the heat and passion of the moment. For some of us, this is more difficult than for others. Think eternally before you act impulsively. Consider things rationally before you act hastily. People today are what we call compulsive shoppers. If you are tending to act compulsively in any way, our text is saying, be careful. Reflect on your path well before you act without thinking at all. Ask yourself with everything you think and say and do, is this God honoring and bringing me closer, bringing my family closer to the Lord and to His ways? Or is it going to be harmful and detrimental? Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder it well and often. Consider your pathway again and again. Thus saith the Lord. Do you hear on this first morning of 2014 God's heavenly loving counsel to you and to me on our earthly journey? Everyone here. Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet. Will you take this to heart this new year, 2014? Notice when the wise man speaks of this, in the context, he speaks of watching your heart, your mouth, your eyes, and your feet, as I mentioned. And that's not without reason either, is it? Because we're all together. We're whole beings, and it all fits together. Mouth, heart, feet, and eyes are closely linked, aren't they, in life's journey? How you and I think in our heart is pretty fundamental as to how we live. If you are not careful every day to have your heart right with God, well, then you're bound to have wayward eyes, wayward feet, and probably a wicked mouth. Usually, falling into sin and ungodliness is not because of a blowout, but more because of a slow leak. Because of your heart not staying focused on the Lord. Here, let me give you a quote from A.W. Pink, which I recently read. He says, quote, "More and more we are learning that there's a vast difference between a theoretical knowledge of the truth and inward experience and enjoyment of it. The general neglect," he says, "of the heart is the root cause of the present sad state of Christendom." So also we read in Proverbs 4, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Later in Proverbs chapter 23, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." You won't ponder the path of your feet if you're not careful with your heart. Nor will you ponder the path of your feet if you let your eyes roam too freely and lustfully. Failure to guard the eye gate from sin has been the cause of downfall into sin for all too many, over and over again. And I'm not just talking about lust in connection with the seventh commandment, but how about in connection with the tenth commandment, coveting. Coveting. Will you make a covenant with your eyes as we begin this new year not to sin with your eyes? Even Job made a covenant like that. Not to sin with your eyes by the grace and power of God, and to be truly repentant every time you fail in this. Neither will you ponder the path of your feet if you are perverse and slanderous with your words, with your mouth. Seldom do we think of it And I speak to myself here too, how wrong words not only reflect a sinful heart, but can lead to so much more sin. If we minimize cynical chatter and constant grumbling, sarcasms and gossip and flippant half-truths and mean accusations, let alone swearing and vulgar language, we don't realize how it corrupts the heart and promotes just general ungodliness and sloppiness of life and disrespect for God and for one another. So ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet, keeping in mind heart, eyes, and mouth, and the whole being. Think long term, not just short term. Think in light of eternity, not just light of the craving for the moment. In Psalm 119, verse 133, we hear David say and pray, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." You know what? That was last year's New Year's Day text. David, he wanted so much to weigh things well. He didn't want to make any misstep at all. So he says, "Order my steps in the way of thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." So the Lord says now today to us, ponder the path of your feet. Can you think of examples of people who did this? What about Daniel in Babylon? Even before he came there, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with Babylon and its ways. It was in connection with food, but it was about mindset in regards to a pagan philosophy as opposed to God's philosophy of life. Very sadly today, there's a book out about Daniel's diet, promoting that diet as if that's what the point of the text was, and it's not. It's about what is the purpose, what's the philosophy of life, the outlook on life. Are you purposed in your heart, like Daniel, not to defile yourself in the pathway of sin and evil and this world? Not in the least measure. Can you think of another example? What about Joseph? He pondered the path of his feet when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And he ran away. Because he thought long term, not short term. Another example would be Moses. Moses had opportunity, didn't he, for great fame and a high place in the land of Egypt. But we read, though Moses was adopted a prince in the house of Pharaoh, with everything possible in his hand, as it were, for worldly pleasures and treasures, he chose instead to align himself with the people of God in their afflictions and in their needs. Why? He pondered the path of his feet and thought of things in the long term, the light of God's word and eternity, and not just in the short term. And you know, it's because these men so lived that their names are in the Bible and are known today as great examples. If they had thought short term, you would know nothing about them. They would not be examples for us today. God's loving counsel for you and me as we continue life's journey this new year. Ponder the path of your feet. Think long term, not just short term. Will you hear this word, each one here this morning? Will you always again think long term, not only short term? Well, we've heard this call as we begin this new year. Now let's think of the challenge with this call, the challenge this call presents. And I have here different challenges. I wonder what challenges you would come up with. See if you agree with me on the ones that I bring up. Let me say it straight right away, that to heed this call of the text with heart and soul and mind and strength, with feet and mouth and heart and eyes, etc., takes concentration, takes resolve by God's grace. It's a challenge. It's a real challenge. Let me mention several reasons why. For one, and I don't need to tell you this, we live in an age, don't we, where instant gratification is considered not only normal, But it's what's highlighted and it's what's promoted and pushed on us even in so many ways. We don't live in times where people are encouraged to wait for things. We are living in times when people are told it's your right to have what you want, when you want it, regardless whether it's good for you or not. If you want it, why don't you get it? That's our age. That's our philosophy today, our culture. Whether you can afford it or not, whether it's right, the right time or not, whether it's good for you or not, or good for those coming up behind you, regardless of others, as long as you don't kill them, if you want it, why don't you get it and have it? Living in this age of instant gratification, I'm saying, makes it difficult to live pondering the path of your feet in the light of God's Word. We live in an age where even when you don't have the money for it, you can buy furniture or a car today with no interest, no payment for the first 6 months, and you get a $500 cash just to enjoy right now. You can have it. Well, but you're not thinking long term if you just say, I don't know, we'll get it, because the bills will come 6 months down the road. You can be sure. But I'm saying because it's such an age of instant gratification, it's all the more important for us to ponder, to weigh the path of our feet, the way we should go and the way we should not go. Our text is especially challenging today too, you could say, because of the countless temptations that come our way as perhaps never before in the way of sin. With our prosperity generally and our modern technology today, and the licentious and godless spirit in general, temptations lie at our doorstep every day, everywhere. I read recently that 2/3 of pornography is now watched and downloaded, not on the computer at home, but on our phones, on our iPads, and iPods, whatever. Not on the computer, not on the laptop. Think too of the countless mindless and even harmful digital games that are out there, available at our fingertips today. When you have a free moment, instead of having thoughts captive to God's Word, we waste them away playing Angry Birds or whatever. Surely failure to ponder the path of your mind and eyes and feet and hands means without doubt to be ensnared one way or another by the world's mindset and the tempter's power. Modern media gadgets can be great, helpful tools in communication, for sure today. We may thank the Lord for them, but left unguarded and not repeatedly, consciously, and honestly weighed and examined in the light of God's Word, in our use of them, we open ourselves to real problems. And with sin's trap so accessible, we need to be extra careful and ponder the path of our feet. Ponder what we do in all our decisions. You know, a great book to read in connection with modern media is called The Next Story by Tim Challies. It's an easy read. It's a very good read, not just in connection with digital things, just for living the Christian life in our day and world. The Next Story by Tim Challies, also the subtitle, Life and Faith After the Digital Explosion. The true Christian knows being born again doesn't mean we are free from sin and the lust for sin, and that sin is no problem for us anymore. No, that's not the case. The true Christian realizes our depravity is something so deep within us that we can't afford a second attraction or distraction to temptation's power. To think you don't need to be very careful in life's journey is to be headed for a fall. To fail to realize spiritually your life and mine is on a pathway with landmines of temptation. All over the place, scattered everywhere, sometimes in places you least expect. To fail to realize that is to be unprepared for the destructive forces of evil within and without. It's always challenging to think long term rather than short term, and to ponder the path of your feet. Challenging considering the sinful times we live in and the many toys and gadgets that can so easily be abused and in sinful ways and distract us. But it's also challenging, isn't it? Considering the stresses in life in general today. The stresses. Our modern conveniences haven't really made it less busy or less stressful, has it? It was meant to be. If you get a wash machine, you know, we got an automatic wash machine, it should be less work. When you get a computer, it should be less work. Well, no, only more work is given. And still lots of work. And our modern conveniences haven't made life less busy or stressful. Rather, living now in our global village as we do, and in the immoral times that we are in, and with the political and economic unrest of our times, people are more stressed than ever before. I really find out here in Calgary too that most of our people that go to work, their lives are stressful. Many lives are stressful. And in this situation, we can so easily fall into the trap when we have a life that's stressful. Hey, I deserve a break. I deserve a break today. And so we begin to dwell at ease and we lose our self-restraints and our healthy self-control. We think, you know, we need a break. And that's what happened to the Israelites, didn't it? The Israelites, when they came to the promised land of Canaan, after they fought for quite a while, hey, we need a break. It happened to David even, after he had successfully fought many battles against the surrounding enemies of Israel. Hey, I need a break. So he stayed home from war. And he let his eyes roam. And got himself in big trouble, as you know. Oh, how dangerous to take a break from the good fight of faith. The fact is, you and I can't afford to take a moment's break from that battle in our pilgrimage here below. We need to remember and reflect on this. And we need to remember too that, you know what? There is a time of eternal rest coming. Oh yes. There is coming. There is a time of real rest coming in glory on the other side of the grave, even for as many as trust and obey the Lord. But here in this life, the challenge remains. And what also makes it extra challenging to ponder the path of your feet is the fact that we live in the so-called last days, surely, when the devil is going about in his last-ditch effort to destroy the church and every member thereof, also among us. And to bring the whole world in destruction with him. That's what he's after. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul warns, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. One of the common tactics of Satan today is to have people not really think through on anything at all. Not really to think. And to make the attraction of the moment the deciding factor for people in their choices and decisions in life. You know what, congregation? If there was ever an age where we need to be aware of the tricks and the plots of Satan, it's in our day. It's in our day. Years ago, a Puritan, Thomas Brooks, wrote a book entitled Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And that's a highly recommended book still today. It's available. It's well worth reading. Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And you know, books like Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress or Bunyan's Holy War or C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters. Those are books very helpful to read. Why not consider reading a book like this in 2014? You see, we live in times where Satan is such a master at showing the attractive bait of sin while hiding the sharp hook that will tear you apart every which way with failure to ponder the path of your feet and pursuing sin's path. Maybe you heard the true story of a thief who grabbed some sausages in a marketplace, thinking, I just need a couple sausages. But he didn't realize that the sausages were tied to each other in a long, whole long string, more than 15, 20 feet. And of course, as he ran away with his two sausages, as he thought, well, the 15, 20 feet of sausages, he got all messed up and tangled up in them. And it wasn't hard for the police to catch him. Tripping over them, he was hindered in his getaway. And he was captured easily. Being caught, you could say, in a tangle of fresh sausages. It's kind of funny. But it's a good picture, isn't it? As someone put it, well, so it is with sin. We always come away with more of it than we expected. And it tends to tangle us. And it brings us down. I pray 2014 won't have people in our church being entangled with sin. These last times when sin so much the more is made looking so deceptive and appealing and attractive. And when it's so accessible to us so easily, oh, it makes it all the more challenging, doesn't it? To ponder the path of our feet. You see this with me, don't you? It brings out how urgent what we have here in our text, Proverbs 4:26. How urgent the challenge is. And this call to heed, to ponder the path of your feet. Think long term and not just short term. It can be extra challenging to think long term rather than short term and to ponder the path of your feet also because you and I, you know what, we can get discouraged in our day. We can get depressed even. I don't know. Maybe you can't, but you can get discouraged and down on the state and condition of the church in general. You see the compromising spirit, the carnal ways of all too many being so predominant in our times, even from professing Christians, and it might cause you to think and to say, you know what? What difference can I make anyways? And why should I be so thinking about these things and when other Christians, they're not having any problem with these matters and why should I live the way I do, trying to live carefully when other Christians say, come on, what's with you? Get enjoy life. But we must not look to people, congregation. We must look to the Lord, to Christ, and His Word which abides forever. Even, yes, in this new year, 2014, don't let people direct you. Let God's Word, which changes not, be our guide and guard in everything. Even personal failure and sin of yesterday and former years, we must not let that make us defeatist or down and have us give up on the good fight of faith and the pursuit of godliness. No, let's just go back to the Lord and find afresh His forgiveness and His renewing grace and pursue after Him in love and faithfulness to His praise. Let's have something of the Apostle Paul's mindset. You know what he said in Philippians 3:13-14? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have reached the goal. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach unto the things which are before. And I press on toward the mark for the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The call and challenge of our proverb is ponder the path of your feet. Think long term, not just short term. When you do this, you will surely take care also to be regularly in the Word and in daily prayer to God, asking for His leading and help in your life. You will make diligent use of the means of grace, like church services and opportunities for Bible studies and communion of saints. That will not be something you hardly care about. It will be something you very much care about. God's healthy, growing people are people who have their week's priorities revolve around worship services. And they don't live a life saying, well, I'll see if I can fit that in my busy schedule. No, it's the priority, the non-negotiable part of our life. If it is well, we need to be led by God's Spirit and Word in our life's journey. Well, will 2014 have us be regular, consistent in God's ways, in God's church, in God's service? Taking Proverbs 4:23-27 seriously means keeping your heart, watching your mouth, guarding your eyes, pondering the path of your feet. That'll be your daily exercise for you. Something you know you can't afford not to do. Something you shouldn't even want to do. In the bulletin, I have some resolutions from Jonathan Edwards and from Matthew Henry. Let me just mention the number 42 resolution of Jonathan Edwards. He had 70 resolutions he would often re-say to himself with New Year's time. But his 42nd was, resolved frequently to renew the dedication of myself to God. Well, isn't that good to do for us too? Resolved frequently to renew the dedication of myself to God. I read this week that the resolves in Scripture, this person wrote, a resolve is not a vague intention, like one of these days I'm going to clean up my garage, or I'm hoping to read the Bible this year. No, but it's a resolution, it's a resolve with a clear plan to follow in doing it. Resolves are intentions with strategies attached to them. You don't just hope something is going to happen, you are planning to make it happen. To be resolved is to be determined, God helping you. That's how Jonathan Edwards made his resolutions. So did Matthew Henry when he wrote, as he often did also with New Year's time, he wrote this resolution, Lord, grant that this year I may be more holy and walk more closely than ever in all holy conversation and conduct. Oh, that a golden thread of holiness may run through the whole web of this year. I know that's the will of God, he said, that I should be useful, and by His grace I will be. Lord, Thou knowest it is the top of my ambition in this world to do good and to be serviceable to the honor of Christ and the welfare of precious souls. That was a resolution. And you agree, reading those aims and resolves of believers in the past, clearly they each pondered the path of their feet. They each weighed everything in life and sought steadily to go God's way and not in their own sinful way and in the world's way. Though not perfect either, no, these men weren't perfect, yet part of the reason for their great godly example and encouragement to us still centuries later is due to taking a verse like our text, Proverbs 4:26, most seriously. Well, my plea to all this morning with this message is, let us hear and pay careful attention with all the challenges to our text in the same way today. May we, you and I, be known as the people who take to heart the call of Proverbs 4:26 and the challenge thereof. Then also, no doubt, the comforts of our text may become ours as well. We will experience them and realize them and reflect them by God's grace. What is the comforting promise of the text? Our third point. Well, pondering the path of your feet, seeking again and again to live in the light of God and His Word and for His glory and honor. You know what? That brings blessed results. Because really what our text is saying, pondering the path of your feet, it means live focused on Christ. That's really what it's saying from the New Testament perspective. Live ever looking to Christ and drawing from Him and seeking His glory in all your ways. Live drawing from His salvation from beginning to end. And the outcome, you know what? The outcome becomes you become established, rooted, and grounded in the way of grace, in the way of godliness, in the way of fruitfulness, in the way of usefulness, in the way of blessing, all kinds of ways. You then become blessed in your own heart because you can have a peace which passes understanding when your heart is in the ways of the Lord and your life. But you also become a blessing to others at home, at work, at school, wherever you are. The right translation of our text reads that this is the fruit of ordering your life, your steps in the way of God's Word and will. By God's grace, it leads to your life being established, rooted, fixed in good ways. Then all becomes well ordered and rightly established in the way of grace and truth in your life. And we see this in history and life today, don't we? The Christian focused on God and His glory, living out of Christ to His praise and honor, in all his or her relationships, those are dear people. Those are people who are such a blessing. Such a blessing to know. Such a blessing to have in your home. Such a blessing to have around. Such a blessing in the company. Such a blessing in our society. Verse 18 of Proverbs 4, as we read, says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. This is what God's people may experience and reflect. Loving the Lord and fleeing from sin and following after His Word and abiding in Christ and drawing out of Him. You and I, you know what? We become a fruit-bearing people. We become a strength in our society instead of a drain. We become a joy instead of a curse. We become a blessing in the church, an encouragement to so many others in the home and in our places at work. Generally speaking, when we live by our text, you don't add to the misery in the world. You help. Help against the misery. You help bring comfort. But if you ignore our text, you know what? You will add to the misery in our world, in your own families, as well as in the company you work and in the society you live. The wise man says in verse 19, as we also read, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So the comfort of the counsel of Proverbs 4:26 is that God promises good in all His ways. And we know too, God pledges His presence and His help in His ways every step of the way. I had to think about it. How Jesus lived by this text. Jesus lived by Proverbs 4:26. He pondered the path of His ways. He knew He was called to be Savior, so all the time He pondered His path, thinking long term, not short term. And because of Him, this text, us living it in view of Him and in union with Him, oh, life becomes so blessed in so many ways. And we don't even have to live this text in our own strength. He promises to give us everything we need to be able to live by this text. The Bible in no way, you know, promotes self-righteousness. But it calls us to look to the Savior, to draw out of Him for all our salvation, from all our sin, and for all our sanctification and freedom from sin. The Bible also promises us, doesn't it, that looking to Christ as only Savior, none will be put to shame. I believe that with all my heart. Looking to Christ, you will not be put to shame. Then by His grace and Spirit, rather, every day and every year again, though we are without power in ourselves to enter God's way or to keep ourselves in His way, yet with the Lord as our guide and our guard, we may prosper truly, truly. And our ways remain steadfast and we truly are blessed and become a blessing and we become useful and fruitful in so many ways. With God in Christ Jesus, is found grace and mercy also to pick us up when sometimes we fall and falter and fail. And I sure appreciate that as I start this new year. I have no doubt that in this new year, no matter how much I want to live for God, I'm going to fall and fail sometimes. I don't want to. No, God forbid. But don't we sin even the first day of the new year? Haven't some of you sinned already? The way you related to each other? Or in your thoughts, or in your words, or in your deeds. We sin. But thank God, the Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. He may pick us up, He will pick us up again and again. So we may have confidence and comfort as we go into this new year. Looking to the Lord, none need fear that your ways won't be established even until the end. No, for God is faithful. Hallelujah. But it is never without us always and again looking to the Lord and depending on Him and His mercy and grace in all our ways. That's how the Spirit works. So another year has come for us, 2014. And even on this first day of the new year, God lovingly comes to us with His gospel word as we speed on to an endless eternity. An endless eternity, either after a life of fruitfulness and usefulness or a life of wastefulness and futility. Either a life that will result in eternal life with Savior Jesus Christ, or a life that is brings us to eternal punishment in hell. Will you go your way, your own way? Or will you listen to what Proverbs 4:26 says? Will this year find you progressing upward, onward, forward, heavenward in life's brief journey, established in the ways of God and good? Or are you not really interested in this, if you're honest? Will you not think long term, but only think short term? Anyone here? Oh, the loving, earnest counsel of God in this sermon is, be thinking long term. Be thinking long term and not just short term. Don't be thinking just in the light of the moment and in the spirit of this world, but think in the light of eternity and God's holy word. I pray you in God's name, hear and listen to the call and challenge of Proverbs 4:26 and demonstrate and enjoy its comfort now already in part and one day forevermore. Oh, let's be a people thinking long term and not only short term, and showing to others the right way. This is the right way to live, ever looking to Jesus and following after His word in spirit and truth. How wonderful when by God's grace you and I may witness to others and mentor in our families and be an encouragement to each other in this right and godly way of wisdom as taught in Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Yes, thus saith the Lord. And you will be blessed and be a blessing, even in more ways than you can realize. Indeed, it's the one way of a truly happy new year. Every year again, whatever the years may bring, even so, may God thus bless us one and all and make 2014 a great new year for each and every one of us, making Proverbs 4:26 as a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. Even so, again, Happy New Year to you all. In Jesus' name, Amen.